But for once, the dog didn't seem to be in a hurry to bring the ball back. An old man in a scruffy green jacket was shambling across the beach in the dog's direction, and Quincy was eyeing him with curiosity. The dog hadn't yet learned not to speak to strangers, and Raven, feeling an unexpected surge of protectiveness, set off to intercept the old man and rescue Quincy from an undesirable encounter. As Raven approached, he realized the man wasn't as ancient as he'd first appeared. He was perhaps not much older than Raven himself, in his late 40s or early 50s, but life hadn't treated him kindly. He looked like a down-and-out. Frayed combat trousers, dirty black boots, matted hair and a weathered complexion beneath a military-style cap. And there was something off about him, a wild gleam in his eyes, a soft muttering, not to the dog, but to himself, although Raven couldn't make out any coherent words in his mumblings. Quincy also seemed to be having second thoughts about the stranger. He ran to Raven's side and offered him the soggy tennis ball without the usual expectation that it would be thrown again. It was time to go home. Raven clipped the lead to the dog's collar and held it tight. The man came a few steps closer before juddering to a halt. He shifted his attention from Quincy to Raven, revealing a weather-hardened face lined with deep furrows. He stood lopsidedly, shouldering his heavy rucksack unevenly, as if compensating for some kind of injury. His eyes darted about, unable to fix on Raven for longer than a second.
"You don't know me, do you?"
He was about 10 feet away, and Raven hadn't expected him to speak. The accent was local, the tone of voice expressing disappointment.
"No."
Raven certainly didn't recognize the man, but there was something about that voice that made him pause.
"And yet I know you."
The man shuffled forward on unsteady legs. Raven instinctively recoiled at the sight of a vodka bottle poking out of the rucksack. He loathed alcohol and the effect it had on people. The man was obviously a drunk, but where had he heard that voice before?
"You're Lance Corporal Tom Raven."
The stranger looked him up and down, as if it were Raven who had let himself go, not this vagrant with his worn and tattered outfit and his reek of vodka and stale sweat.
"Oh, you were."
It came back to him in a flash, a vision of a group of young lads who, just like Raven, had signed up with the Duke of Wellington's regiment straight after leaving school. They'd been comrades in arms, boys playing at being soldiers, thinking they were men. They'd been kitted out and trained up and shipped off to the Bosnian War in the 90s. War had made men of them soon enough, the ones it hadn't left dead.
"Private Sean Collins."
How could Raven have failed to recognize him? Bosnia was a lifetime ago. Raven hadn't seen or heard from Collins or any of the other lads in nigh on 30 years. It would have been a miracle if he had recognized him, so changed was Collins from the fresh-faced soldier he'd once been, full of bravado, quick with a joke, and always keen to impress his kid brother who was still living back home in Yorkshire. Collins grunted in acknowledgement of Raven's delayed recognition.
"So you haven't forgotten everything."
"How could I forget?" The war had hurt them both, in Raven's case leaving him with a wounded leg that had never completely healed. Collins had also suffered an injury, which explained the way he leaned slightly to one side under the weight of his backpack. But as Raven regarded the other man's haggard expression and looked into those haunted eyes that darted left and right without ever seeming to rest, it became plain that the damage it had wrought upon Collins had reached far deeper beneath the skin.